6:30 p.m. on November 30th, 1996. I am here at the house of Mr. Eugenio E. Gonzalez. The interview is taking place in Eagle Pass, Texas. And the subject of the interview we're going to talk about is concerning World War II, but a brief beginning of the Great Depression of the 1930s. Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, so then, you were born in South Texas, right? And in March 18th, 1914. And you came to live over here in Eagle Pass at the age you were, what, almost about a year old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so then you were living here, and at that time it was, 1914 when you were born? Okay, so then you came to live over here, and you lived here throughout the Great Depression? Okay, what can you tell me about the
the things that I can say that a big percentage of people were starving to death, they couldn't get a job. As a matter of fact, that, over here on the bottom of the hills were some soldiers, regular soldiers, and then they went up to Blackenville, where the coach was. We always looking for a job so we can eat, get something to eat for the families, and some of the people dying of tuberculosis. There's two kinds of tuberculosis. One we call it tuberculosis bacillus, comes from restaurants, but not that. The other one is tuberculosis gallopin, which is if you get a spot on your lung, mm-hmm. in 2 or 3 months you would die.
And that was also because of the starvation?
Yes, you don't have you didn't have food to go.
And okay, and you, how did you survive the Great Depression?
I used to go down the hills, about this, they used to call it the Seven Hills, and kill birds, rabbits, whatever I can get. And bring home with a 22.
And who were you living with at that time?
My aunt and uncle.
And you were approximately 14, 15 years old at that time? With the Great Depression. Were you working at the time?
I don't remember the year, but I used to work at the Union Grove store, which is run by a doctor, Montemayor, and the drugist, Gravio Montemayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hired for $3 a week to deliver.
$3 a week?
Delivering medicine to the houses, because in the old days they didn't have doctors to bring babies. They had to find women over here and in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to take cotton, some kind of residue, and you put drops in the ears of the baby,
uh-huh.
when you moan, and a lot of things they used to do for these ladies in the old days. We didn't have doctors.
So you would work. You would work at the drugstore.
I used to deliver.
You used to delivering whatever they needed.
Whatever they needed.
Okay, and then would you your parents passed away?
Yes.
Because of the Great Depression.
Yes.
No, starvation.
I think that the my mother died because she had a baby, and then she died because she had the baby.
Okay.
And we didn't have no medical.
So what did you do since you were not getting enough money? You were only being paid $3 a week, so what did you decide to do?
With that little money we take home, and it was another family there. So it's just so the rest of the family will eat. So everybody can eat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole thing. Until President Roosevelt came in and start hiring men, say boys,
mm-hmm.
to go to garden park
in Gunner, Texas, mm-hmm.
and make that garden park made by the president, and some of the boys used to go and work there.
Well, did you ever go work?
No, I didn't have a chance. Somehow had a chance. Somehow not the other thing. And then we're working in construction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to go now. It's one of the points that make it much better for the rest of the thing.
Mm-hmm. And then, when you were approximately 24, 25, but going back to when the Great Depression started, your life here, your education, you went to school here?
Yeah,
went to school. And then you, when the Great Depression was over, then you decided to
enjoy the army.
To get into the army?
The army, because still, but the army was much better because you can get a battle fatigue, a jacket and boots for it.
So you
were running out of shoes.
Just, yeah. So you decided that it would be best for you to
get into
the army?
Get in the army for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them didn't volunteer because they were afraid to get shot.
And you weren't?
Well, in several occasions, yes.
You
were afraid? I was very, very tight. I used to. I don't want to say this, but sometimes I had what's called a close combat. And you had to put the bayonet in the fence against the Japs. And the Japs had a longer rifle, longer than ours, longer than the M1. And I was trying to defend was an instructor in the States.
But first of all, you decided to enlist into the army because of the way of life that you had. You thought it was better to get into the army, get paid more,
uh-huh.
have a jacket, have shoes to wear.
Yeah.
And so you went, where did you go to go enlist?
We went from here to stay in Oregon. They had some birds in the old days, and they built an Air Force camp over there at the same time, at the airport over there.
Where?
Yeah. Right here, an airport camp, 10 miles from here, and the birds are out there with you. And every morning, some men would come going from here to the airport, and build barracks houses. And they had an airport here, they got an airport here,
mm-hmm.
10 miles from here. And that helped create a great deal because some of these men, they needed some work. But let me tell this much, that all that was done by the president.
The president Roosevelt. All the camps and the...
Everything.
So you told me that from here, from Eagle Pass, you went to San Antonio, and from there you went by train to Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
And there you were stationed in the Army.
In the Army, we built the 96th Division,
mm-hmm.
and then we flew to San in trucks to San Francisco and get on the boat, and they sail up to Hawaii, Oahu, and it was already bombed by the time we got there.
By the time you got there, it was already bombed in Hawaii.
The Japanese already came and sank all the Navy of the United States.
And by this time, how old were you when you first went into the Army?
Yeah.
You told me about 25, 26
about
years old?
About 25.
Mm. Were you married?
No.
At the time, no? So you went out to war?
When I came from the Army, I got married. I had to get married because I was hitting on the street. In other words, when I came from the Army, the war was over and I don't have a place to live. So I can get some food if I could figure out if I can get married, cheap to make. My wife can make some meal.
So tell me about your experience when you first went into the Army and throughout the Army days.
In the camp or in combat?
Both.
Well, in the camp was, they gave me the striking sticks and then I had to start drilling all these guys. Well, how to march, how to go to the infiltration courses, how to shoot.
And how was it that you got the sergeant, staff sergeant?
Because I went one day to the farm, and I took the 81 more with all these men, and they gave me a target. They said, "We see from see what target over there, about 2,000 yards." So I never shot over three rounds to hit the target. All the targets that they gave me, I would shoot to three rounds and it was it. So I made expert in shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me the stripes.
The sergeant.
Yeah. And
this was where? In Oregon?
In Oregon.
In Oregon? Okay.
And then I become a sergeant and going to infiltration posts where you shoot with the rifle and hand grenades and all that routine.
So when you first went into the Army, when you were stationed over there in Oregon, so did you right away felt a better, did you feel it was better for you, the choice of going into the Army, than having to stay here in Eagle Pass in your hometown?
No, it was more doubt because I did come back to Eagle Pass. It was how I'm going to get a job.
There were no jobs.
And a lot of people come from across the world to work.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so it was harder to get a job here.
In the old days.
So then you were over there and you were a sergeant. And then, for how long were you there in Oregon?
About a year and a half, 3 years, something like that. Until when I was made sergeant in the States, when I came back, came back home, I was a sergeant. I never decided to get tech sergeant or lieutenant or something like that. Because the most stripes you get, more responsibility you get from the more men.
Mm-hmm.
I had some men, like this guy, Hosen. We went to relief here and we had the close combat. And he threw his bag and everything he had, the rifle, and threw it, and he started running back. He didn't want to fight anymore.
And this was already in...
The search. In other words, you don't want to fight. You don't want to fight with them. It's against the law. You run, if you run away.
And your friend ran away?
Huh?
Your friend ran away?
And you have to let him go because the psychology formed is, let me use that word, that all these men that went in the Army, they were draftees. They were not volunteers to get in the Army.
And you were a volunteer.
I was a volunteer.
Okay.
And they had family, they had wives, they had everything in the States. And they had a report to San Antonio, Houston, whatever. to go and fight. So the United States was forcing
them,
these people, to go and fight. And I was not forced.
Voluntarily.
Yeah, I did like the job.
Were you afraid at one point or another?
No, I wasn't afraid. I don't think. Honestly, I was afraid of it. Especially when I had those combat.
So you, okay, so then just to verify that, you went and you were in Oregon for a year and a half, where you were a staff sergeant, and then from there you went in the boat all the way into Hawaii.
Hawaii.
And then
we made about a week.
About a week in getting into Hawaii.
Yeah.
What year was this?
I think we checked the book, yes, we find it, because it's in the book. But we wait for the Japanese in Hawaii. They thought we were coming back. But at the meantime, we were waiting for General MacArthur. General MacArthur was a prisoner in Corregidor, this in the Philippines, a rock with General Wainwright. And the Japanese took over this place, this rock, and then they sent a PT boat and got his wife and his son, General MacArthur, from there back to the States. And then President Truman called him and says, I want you back in the Philippines, because he left a child return.
MacArthur left?
Left and said, a child returned. And then he returned. In other words, MacArthur was like a god with the Philippines.
Why was that?
He was a god.
Why was he seen as a god?
Because the people, he helped the people before he went to war.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got captured, when a lot of people were hurt in Corregidor, were wounded, they had no food, they spent 3 months. And that place is in Manila. And then the Japanese took the men from there to Bataan and walked, and some of them died. They starved to death. And the PT boat came in the night and took MacArthur and his wife and his boy out of Corregidor. And General Wainwright said, you want to stay and take care of the troops? And then the Japs came in. And he surrendered. Wainwright surrendered. They took him to Tokyo. This is why he died. He had ulcers because he didn't have food.
And where were you at this time?
I was going on the road to Okinawa.
Okinawa. And you got, and then you get to Okinawa, and then what happens to you?
Well, we fought 3 months there.
More or less. And what was that experience?
Fighting.
How was that experience?
Fighting in Okinawa? It was very, very, very difficult, because the Japanese thought that they were going to win the war. Because Okinawa in Tokyo is only about 250 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was, they already won the war.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened that the Navy, the United States Navy, and then they send planes, a lot of planes, because the war in Europe already ended, and the people came and helped us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 1st Cavalry 77, Division 7, and Marines help us in Okinawa. And then some of these men went to Tokyo. And they sent us to Mindoro to rest.
To rest?
Okay. I was more skinny than you. I was just a bone.
Really?
Really, really no food at all.
So what would you all eat?
Well, we had rations from the army.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us some little crackers and little cans. And we eat it. And then they had some kind of a candy, but I'm going to stick in my finger about that long, with a lot of vitamins. un equipo usando un error.
Mm-hmm.
Pero ahí es nuestra 3 months right, nine days. Que mejor. Somos menos.
So how long were you over there in Okinawa?
3 months.
3 months.
Three months with nights. And then a typhoon came in and we had to move out of there because the typhoon was blew us out of there. 150 miles an hour typhoon. So we went to Mindoro and stayed there, and by that time General MacArthur and these guys from Tokyo, some new teachers,
What, do you remember what year was this?
They were, they sang on the aircraft ferry. I don't remember the name of the ferry, but I didn't see it. But they signed it because they had some B-29s in Jap, and they were flying from the B-29s to Tokyo and go the first month to Hiroshima. And you hear that. You ever heard about atomic one?
Mm-hmm.
They burned the grass and burned the skin and burned whatever. And they dropped the first bomb and killed a lot of women and kids and whatever. And houses. And then they sent some more papers on planes. So then they sent the other bomb. And that's when Hirohito said, well, very much for because
Hirohito was the...
He was the president of the Japanese people. Well, they had another guy, Tojo. That Tojo suicided himself, but the doctors in the army so cured him, slammed him.
So what did you do at that time? What were you expected to do? Since you were in the army, did you ever kill anybody? What was your personal experience? What was your personal experience while being in the army at that time of World War II?
You mean teach somebody or what? Talk to somebody about?
Uh-huh.
Let them know or what?
No, what did you do?
After I got out of the army?
No, during that time, when World War II was going on, you went to combat,
I went to combat.
Will you tell me something about that?
Well, say that the nights we had to move always from one place to another.
You would move during the night?
In the night, because I used to roll the waistcoat. I had field glasses inside there.
Field glasses?
Yeah.
What were those?
Which color?
Binoculars?
Binoculars. And they were shown. And had them inside so the Japanese didn't know I was at the surgery. I had to hide them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I hit my 45 and hit the M-mark. And I had only men behind me. You know, with me. But I had a German ward. He had 3 kids. He worked in space. And he came to me and said, Gonzalez, he stopped crying. He kissed me. He said, Gonzalez, I gave you a bad time. For 3 months, you told me to go in this direction, and I went the other direction. And he said, "What? You're going home?" He started crying like a baby. And there were a lot of times that I got hurt, but I came alive. But you guided me in the battles, and you cried like a baby.
He was telling you?
He contradicted me all the time.
Oh.
German people, they contradict you all the time. Mm-hmm. That's why you call it square head.
Mm-hmm.
Square head. The German call it square head. Because they always contradict you. You tell them, hey, you go to it, and I don't know what to say to them.
And how were those days within the other army soldiers? What was your relation with the other army soldiers? Was there discrimination at that time?
No. Not in combat. You get it in the States. Like the first beachhead, Captain Taylor, he started crying in the beach and crying and hollering and crying. But he got the battle fatigue. This was a hell of shelter. He can't take it. The Jeffs were out there waiting for us. And the guys were just, he was passing by. He lived in October the 20th. In 29, Gonzalez from La Mina, he got shot in the head. Martinez, from his brother, put alarms in the houses. He lives over there on the top of the airway close to the Mexican Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
His brother got hit here and he lived there. I think it's some of the eyes that I was on him all the time. But
did you ever get hit? Any part of your body? You never?
Yes, on the pants.
Just on the pants? The bullets?
Yeah. And what actually makes you very good soldier is your legs. I used to play a lot of ball. And soon you do. If you got two legs, you run very, very fast. They can't hit you very well. This one I think to be a good soldier. Leg.
Your legs.
Be a fast one. Like a quarterback in football game or something like that. You got six sack and they're fine, it's like a football game. And we go through here and we recover here. And it's about the same thing. It's the same, almost. Not exactly, but it's somebody takes the ball. And the guy who takes home takes the ball, it will be fast. So that's what it is.
And you would get paid?
What?
Would you get paid?
Yeah.
Approximately how much?
I had $120 a month.
A month? And would you send money home? You told me you would send money to your sister?
Yeah, the wife of my brother died to work with us. He had five kids. So I sent money home.
Mm-hmm.
The wife of my brother.
The wife of your brother.
Not into it, yes. They're in the same place where I was. Where I live. So, on the consul, they didn't have food, that's all.
Because of the lack of food, so you would send money home. And then, well, then it was over. After the war was over.
I came here. They offered me some jobs over there. In the army, it was still the war of Korea was going. And I said, hey, I don't go to Korea. I'm sick, my stomach can't go. I need some sleep. 90 days of walking away. He said, well, if you want to enjoy the Korean army, you might become a lieutenant. I don't want anyone fighting me. But I want to go home, it's dressed and sleep. And I came here, and I went to Corpus and lay down on the beach. For 2 months, I lay down in the recuperate with my mind. Because the mind has to do a lot of it. And you're killing people, you can't do it.
So did you suffer afterwards?
Huh?
Did you suffer afterwards?
No, not very much, but I went to Investor to focus where I stayed there and sleep there and hope there at first. And I came back. But, I don't know, you have to, your mind has to be on the book. But if you are the army, you have to have a good horse sense and good legs. When you jump, you hit the ground and roll over like anybody else.
So, a brief summary of your experience during that World War II? A brief summary of your experience during World War II?
Like in the street?
during World War II?
Yeah.
A brief, could you give me a brief summary? Just, you went to war, sometimes you were frightened, but you went because it was your only way out to get a job?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things is I was useless order because we didn't have the groceries. Because the plane came in and knocked it out and the little bit of bomb hit on the top of the hill, not for the dirt now, but for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we said, we got all the men, and the company commander said, we got one man missing. He said, where it is? He said, name is Patterson, and he said, he's here for you. He gave me everything he can. He was very there, but that much cramped. He said, well, he didn't have to go to mine. And I report. So let's start digging right here. Everybody start digging. Start digging. And all of a sudden, the dirt showed me. They got a mouth. And this convention, this year, yeah, we did it in the screaming and grabbing and kissing and everything. And then it went. Well, that's everything that I mean, because when you read the orders, my orders were from my society, and had to get the rooms, I was pretty good. That's what I think, I should have got master, which is not me.
Okay, Mr. Lozada. Then that's your experience during the World War II, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.